left off last week, we began to discuss the mitzvah of tikei shofar specifically as it relates to the Beis HaMikdash. So we said that, of course, there's a mitzvah of tikei shofar begulin, there's a mitzvah of tikei shofar everywhere you live, but somehow the mitzvah of tikei shofar mikdash may be a little bit different. And we saw, spoke a little bit last week, about how it was practiced in the context of the chatzotros. They used to blow the chatzotros and the shofar together. There was a special kiyum that was dafka of mikdash, and that, of course, doesn't apply outside the Beis HaMikdash. I shouldn't say, of course, the gemara havmi that applies outside, but the maisa doesn't. Are there any other special kiyumim of the mitzvah of tikei shofar as it relates to the mikdash, anything that was done special in the Beis HaMikdash? So the first Mishnah in the fourth parak of Maseches Rosh Hashanah tells us that there was a difference between tikei shofar in the mikdash and tikei shofar outside the mikdash when Rosh Hashanah fell out on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, Rosh Hashanah yadav shechalios b'Shabbos b'mikdash ayatokin avalo b'medina, that the mitzvah of tikei shofar would take place practically on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, but outside the Beis HaMikdash, so they wouldn't blow shofar on Shabbos. So the question is, what does that tell us? Does that tell us anything special about the Beis HaMikdash? That's a machlekes, the Bavli and the Rishalmi. So according to the Bavli, it doesn't tell us all that much different about the Beis HaMikdash, because min HaTorah, the mitzvah of tikei shofar, according to the Bavli, always applies, even on Shabbos, whether you're in the Beis HaMikdash or outside the Beis HaMikdash. The Bavli concludes in the beginning of the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah that the fact that we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, that's only a gezeirah midrabbanan, shema yavirena da'anamus b'shisarab, and we're afraid lest the person carries the shofar. So the Gemara says that gezeirah midrabbanan doesn't apply in the Beis HaMikdash, like many of the other gezeirahs midrabbanan don't apply in the Beis HaMikdash, as the Gemara says in the end of the Erevin, because of ein shvus b'mikdash. Yisurim midrabbanan were instituted to prevent people from violating Yisurim. A person may carry the shofar. A guy lives in Tinek, he may make a mistake, forget a Shabbos, he's going to carry the shofar. He's in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim are there, the Sanhedrin's there. It's highly unlikely that he's going to forget that it's Shabbos. So they offer Midr Rabbanan, they lifted that Gezeirah Shem Aviranu in the Beis HaMikdash itself. So that's why the Mishnah says that the Mikdash HaTogra V'Lom Medina, it's not a real chilek, it's not a deraisa, like a chilek between Mikdash and Medina. Midaraisa, it's all the same. Midaraisa, you blow shofar on Shabbos, no matter where you are. Midarabana, they made a gezeirah not to blow on Shabbos, and they lifted that gezeirah in Machabah Mikdash. It's not a conceptual difference, not a fundamental difference. It's practical. The Maisa, there's a little bit of a difference, but in terms of vis-a-vis the real mitzvah of tikei shofar, there isn't all that much of a difference. However, the Rishalmi, in the beginning of the fourth parak of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, has a totally different understanding of that Mishnah. The Rishalmi says that the reason why you blow shofar during the week and you don't blow shofar on Shabbos is not a din midrabbanan, but rather it's based on psukim. Because in one place, the Torah describes Rosh Hashanah as being a yom truah yalachem. Yom truah means you physically, actively blow. And in another place in Parshas Emor, the Torah describes Rosh Hashanah as being a zichron truah mikra kodesh. Zichron truah means you don't blow. It means you just talk about blowing. You say psukim, but you don't actually blow. So when is it a yom truah? When is it a zichron truah? So Rishalmi says that the difference is that when Rosh Hashanah falls out during the week, then it's a yom truah. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, then it's only a zichron truah. So the Rishalmi is clear that this is a chiluk on a level of deraisa. Then the Rishalmi asks the question, if that's true, and it's a chiluk on a level of deraisa, so then why do you blow in the Beis HaMikdash? Why should the Beis HaMikdash be any different? So the Rishalmi says, no, the Beis HaMikdash is different, because the Pasuk Yom Truah Yelochem that appears in Parshas Pinchas happens to be in the Parshas HaKorbanos, and the very next Pasuk says, Vasisa Moila, it says to bring the Korban Musaf. So the Rishalmi has a drasha on a level of deraisa, that Yom Truah Yelochem is always in Mikdash. That's no matter what. Whether it's a Tuesday, whether it's a Shabbos, no matter what day of the week it is, Yom Truah Yelochem always applies in the Beis HaMikdash. When it comes to the Pasuk Zichron Truah, so Zichron Truah, that's what we differentiate. That's what we say, that if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, if it's outside the Beis HaMikdash, so then you don't blow shofar. You just say the Pesukim. So you see from the Rishalmi, Rishalmi is saying, Gazad Derosha, Zad Dinim Deraisa, the Rishalmi is saying that this Mishnah in the fourth parak of Rosh Hashanah that says that you blow the mikdash, you blow the medina, is not a distinction with the Rabbanan. It's not just a svara, when to make a gezeirah, when to not make a gezeirah. Yerushalmi is taking this with the utmost seriousness. This is based on real psuk, this is a real drashas, gemuras mideraisa. The Bavli clearly disagrees. To such an extent, the Bavli disagrees that the Bavli quotes the Yerushalmi. The Bavli quotes the Havamina as a Havamina, that maybe there's a difference between Yom Truah and Zichron Truah. And the Bavli rejects it. Because one of the questions that the Bavli asked is, if you're going to tell me that midaraisa, there's a difference between Yom Truah and Zichron Truah,
How could you blow in the Mikdash on Shabbos? So that's what the Yushalmi Yin said. Mikdash is different. In the Mikdash, there's a special din of Yom Shira Lechem 7 days a week. And the Bavli Dafka quotes it and rejects it. So you see that there's a fundamental machlokes now between the Bavli and the Yushalmi. Is there something unique? Are the rules of Tkiah Shofar in the Mikdash different than Tkiah Shofar outside the Mikdash? So according to the Bavli, there's no difference. The exact same mitzvah Tkiah Shofar, the Mikdash and Chutz the Mikdash, if it exists Midaraisa in one, then it exists Midaraisa in the other. And any difference, any possible distinction that the Tanoim are recording between the Mikdash and the Tekin of Lobe Medina must be on a level of the Rabbanim. There's no way to explain away this on a level of the Raisa. So the Bavli seems to understand that there's no fundamental difference between the Yeshayfar of the Mikdash and the Yeshayfar of the Medina. There are slight differences. You blow Chatzaitz in one place and another place. Now, those are technical things, but in terms of the Ikar Mechayev, it's the same mitzvah to Yeshayfar of the Mikdash and Chutz LeMikdash, and therefore it would be absurd to start drawing distinctions within times. And Rishami says no. Rishami says, that's not true. There's a fundamentally different mitzvah. There's Yom Tri Elochem. That's a Mikdash Dikah mitzvah. And that mitzvah applies to Yalim Vod. That applies on Shabbos, weekday, all the time. Then there's a separate mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to Kishofa Begvulin, mitzvah to Kishofa outside the Mikdash. So that's subject to the time of the week, to the day of the week. On Shabbos, no. During the week, yes. So a different, very, very different understanding of how the Pesukim play out. How do we pass in Halacha between the Bavli and the Rishami? It's hard to know because there isn't that much of a difference in the halacha, but at least conceptually, how should we pass it? So of course, we follow the Bavli. We know the Rif tells us in the end of Maseches Erevin that we always follow the Bavli over the Yerushalmi, and the reason being that the Chachmei Bavel knew what it said in the Talmud Yerushalmi, and they quote it, or even if they don't literally quote, they had it in front of them, and they knew what the Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael was saying, and then they decided whether they thought that was correct or not. So since the Chachmei Bavel had access to the Talmud Yerushalmi, so that has a status of what's called Halach Kibasuroi. Halach Kibasuroi means that when the later generations knew what the earlier generations said and they still disagreed with them, then we say Halach Kibasuroi. Sometimes the later generations didn't know what the earlier generations said. Let's say you have a machlekes b'zman hazeh, and then somebody finds and says, "Oh, we found the Ritva. The Ritva says the favorite shvaker." So you don't say, "Oh, no Halach Kibasuroi." If you saw the Ritva and for some reason you thought we don't follow like that, that's one thing. But if you didn't see it, you didn't know about it, so then that's not called Halach Kibasuroi. Then you have to follow what the Rishayim said. Unless the particular Sefer was off the charts for hundreds of years. So that's a big question. So the Chazon Ish says that if you have certain Svarim that were in manuscript, they were in Geniza for hundreds of years. So the Chazon Ish said that you can't start bringing back Svarim out of Geniza and start revamping the whole halacha. He says there was a reason why they were in Geniza. The Rav Shalom wanted them to be in Geniza all these years. That would put the Machon Rishalayim out of business. A lot of the Svarim today are they're digging up more and more Svarim, trying to find out what the early Rishayim said. So that's already a question. How do you deal with such things when you have a sefer that nobody knew about for the last 800 years? Should that sefer all of a sudden weigh in up the halacha? But if you have regular, normal sources, and I wasn't aware of the sources, that's not halacha basurai. But if I knew the sources, if I knew what they said, and I still passed it against them, then halacha basurai kicks in. So that's what the Rif writes in the end of Erevin, that the Chachmei Bavel knew what the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael said, and they still disagreed with them. So this is a classic example of this, because here, you mamash see that in the Gemara. You see this playing out in the Gemara. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah quotes the Yerushalmi, quotes the Svar of the Yerushalmi, the difference between the Pesukim, and then the Bavli asks the question and rejects it. Whereas the Yerushalmi didn't reject it. The Yerushalmi came up with the Shtichot Torah that Yom Tshuva Elochem and the Mikdash is different. You see clearly the Chachmei Bavel had the whole Sukh in front of them, and they quote the Yerushalmi, not literally verbatim, but they quote basically the Svar of the Yerushalmi, and then they go ahead and ask a question and ultimately reject the Yerushalmi. So according to the Rif's Klal, this is a perfect example of how we should paskin like the Bavli against the Yerushalmi. So it's interesting that even though in terms of pure halacha, we probably do follow the Bavli over the Yerushalmi, here it's a little bit strange. We find in Nusach HaTfilah that the Yerushalmi carries the day. We find that in our Nusach HaTfilah, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so we make a whole point out of that. We add into the phrase, we say, Yom Zichron Truah Mikra Kodesh. According to the Bavli, it's no more, no less of a Zichron Truah on a weekday than on Shabbos. According to the Bavli, the terms Yom Truah and Zichron Truah are synonymous. There's no real difference conceptually between the two in terms of timing. It's only according to the Yerushalmi's understanding that Yom Tru and Zichron Tru really make a difference. So in Hilchos Tefillah, somehow the Yerushalmi got picked up. Yeah, you could talk about in terms of, you know, if you understand about the history of the Nuscha Tefillah, so you can figure out why that did or didn't happen. But in terms of pure halacha, so we don't really follow this Rishama. We really accept the Bavli. This idea, though, that the Mishnah tells us that the Mikdash Eretokin of Alom Medina, whether it's a Chilik Dereis or it's a Chilik Midrabanan, there is a Machlekes in the Rishonim, just what exactly the term Mikdash means here. We usually translate Mikdash to mean basic Mikdash Mamish, so that's what Rashi translates it. But the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam writes in Parashat Mishnayis that Mikdash means the entire Yerushalayim is considered to be Mikdash. As we know, that for certain halachas of Achilles Kotchim, so Yerushalayim is considered to be an extension of the Beis HaMikdash, it could be the Kodesh, Pesach, the Beis HaSheni, etc. So the Rambam holds that for the purposes of this din, the Mikdash Eretokin, it refers to the whole city of Yerushalayim. It doesn't make too much of a difference for us, but what does possibly make a difference is the second half of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah quotes the second din. The Mishnah says that there's a mitzvah to be note the lulav the entire week with the rice of a mikdash. The Mishnah uses the exact same term. Betchila a lulav nitol b'mikdash called shiva. There's a mitzvah there rice to shake a lulav and esrog the entire week if you're in the base of mikdash. And the fact that we shake a lulav and esrog the whole week, that's only the rabbanon of zeichel and mikdash. So the Rambam there also, some say the Rambam says that mikdash there also means all of Yerushalayim. So that may have chapanav kamin ladin. There's a famous achlaner, there's a famous shuvah where he writes that he thinks that according to the Rambam there may be a mitzvah there rice to shake a lulav and esrog in Yerushalayim the entire week, or at least in halachic Yerushalayim the entire week. So what's the difference? We're shaking a little bit anyway. We're shaking out the mitzvah, the Rabban of Zechel Mikdash. No, there's a big difference. It's a big difference that the standards are different. We have a lot of kulas in Uchel's Lulav and Esreg that are based on the premise that the mitzvah is only with the Rabban. After the first day, we have so many kulas, so many things that we're able to be machshir. If it would be a mitzvah deraisa, that wouldn't apply. So according to the Aruch Laner, if you're shaking a Lulav and Esreg in the third day Chalamoid, you're davening Bet Kosel, so you have to make sure you have a deraisa to standard. You have to make sure you have a real kosher Lulav and Esreg. Or perhaps another nafkamin. Let's say a person daven shachar somewhere else. Daven shachar is in Bnei Brak this morning, and then he comes to Yerushalayim, and he comes to the Kosel 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So he becomes mechuyev midaraisa in the midst of Netilas Lulav, because it's mikdash. When he shook in Bnei Brak, it wasn't mikdash. Now it's mikdash. So again, assuming that the Rambam is right, assuming that this pshat is right, that the mikdash means a much more expansive kind of a mikdash. So this whole Rambam started with Tekiah Shofar. That's where the original statement of the Rambam Perashat Mishnayis was. All right, getting back to the story. So we know that for sure there is a practice. Difference between Tekiah Shofar and Mikdash versus outside the Mikdash. We're not sure whether this practical difference in terms of Shabbos is a chiluk on the level of the Raisa like the Yerushalmi. It's only a chiluk on the level of the Rabbanan like would appear in the Bavli. Are there any other dinim of Tekiah Shofar that are more Mikdash oriented, that have something to do with the base of Mikdash? So there is a sugya that appears in the beginning of the third parak of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where the Mishnah quotes the Machlekes HaTanoim about what type of animal is kosher for to be used as a shofar. So the Mishnah talks about using the shofar of a cow. The Machlekes HaTanoim is the horn of a cow, an acceptable shofar. So we paskin that now. We paskin that a shofar shofar is no good. There are a couple of Mishnahis, the beginning of the third parak of Rosh Hashanah, that are a little bit confusing as to which animal you're allowed to use. On the one hand, the Mishnah says, Kol HaShofar's K'sherim. Sounds like everything's kosher as long as it's not a cow. And then another Mishnah starts talking about using straight shofars and curved shofars and vent, the whole story. So this Machlekes HaRishonim, how do you resolve those two Mishnahis? One Mishnah sounds like everything's good, and then the Tanaim start picking and saying only this and this. So most of the Rishonim learned that there are two different sugyas. One sugya is talking about what's mamish kosher and what's posel. So the Mishnah says, kol shofars kosher. All animals are really kosher. And the only exception to an animal, the only animal that potentially posel, is a cow. Then the other Mishnah is talking about lechetchila. What's the nice way to do it? What's the mitzvah min amuchar? So some Tanoim said it's more appropriate to use a straight shofar. Another Tanoim said it's more appropriate to use a curved shofar. And our minhag is, we paskin that it's more appropriate to use the curved shofar. But the ikar din, you can use either a straight shofar or you can use a curved shofar. I learned something new this summer about curved shofars I never knew before. But we were up in the north this summer, so they were trying very hard to find different places for us to go. We ran out of the limit how much time we can go to Tiberia. So they took us to a shofar factory up in the Golan. So the fascinating, I bought a new shofar. So the guy who was explaining to us If you ever see, there, most of the shofars that we see today are pretty, you know, pretty curved, you know, pretty nicely curved. But every once in a while you see an older shofar, which is very straight, and just a little tiny, tiny curve. The whole top of the curve has been taken off. So I happen to have one of the shofars in my house. That was my grandfather's shofar in my parents' house. My grandfather's shofar was an old European shofar. It was very straight, and it's a little bit of a mashu of a curve and something. So he explained to us where those shofars, why they used to produce those shofars. So he said those shofars were originally produced in places where the goyim sometimes would start up. They didn't want the Jews to belong to shofar. We already know that was a problem back in the days of the Tanoim. So they wanted to be able to hide the shofars very, very quickly. Our shofars, where are you going to stick such a shofar? You stick in your pocket? Those shofars, if you cut off the whole top of it, so the din is the shofar doesn't have to be so curved. It has to be a little bit curved. So those shofars are very easy to conceal. You can stick it in your pocket, stick it in your pants, you can stick it in your shirt, you can do wherever you want. So that's why they used to produce those kind of shofars. That's what I told us. It was an old Sephardi fellow who told us that's where the source of those shofars came from. So I was excited to know that I had one of those shofars. Anyway, here back to the story. So according to most of the Rishonim, we passed kol shofars kasher, all shofars are kasher. But it's just like the chachila, should you use curve, straight, curved, etc. The admonig is that we use curve. Then there are other Rishonim who say, no, it's a machlekes a tanoim. That those tanoim who talk about using a straight or a curved shofar, they say that's likuva. That if you use any other kind of shofar, it wouldn't be kosher. So we usually don't follow that view. So the only kind of shofar that's really, really possible is a shofar shalpara. A cow's horn, that's for sure out of the question. What's so terrible about a cow's horn? What's a gefelach? So the Mishnah gives one reason, and then the Amoraim start eating on more reasons. So the Mishnah seems to say the reason why the cow's horn is possible is because it's not technically called the shofar. The Torah says, actually it doesn't even say the word shofar by Rosh Hashanah. It says the word shofar by Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. It says about Varta shofar trua, but we have a tradition, we have a gezeirah shava, that shvi, it says the word chedesh shvi, the phrase seventh month by Rosh Hashanah, and it says seventh month by Yom Kippur, and we derive the halachas one from another, it's a gezeirah shava. So it's as if the Torah says the word shofar by Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara explains that only something that's called a shofar is good, and a cow's horn is not called a shofar. What's a cow's horn called? It's called a keren. Keren and shofar, two different words. There's a keren and there's a shofar. Even though if you say the piyutim in Rosh Hashanah, you would never realize that, because we keep on talking about zechor tokel lecha hayom bekeren. We use the word shofar and keren interchangeably, but whatever it is, the bottom line is that a cow's horn is only called a keren. It's not really called a shofar. Then the Amoraim added on other reasons. They say that oyish leimar, other reasons why a cow's horn is possible. So one reason is because the way the cow's horn grows, so it grows in different stages, and it gives the appearance of being like shnei shofaros. The din is that it has to be a shofar echad abrachamana, v'lo shnayim v'shlo shofaros. It can't be multiple shofaros. So if you have a cow's horn, it looks a little bit like it's more than one shofar. So some of that's also considered to be like a chisard of shnei shofaros. And then the Gemara gives the most famous of all the reasons. It's the last of the reasons, but the most famous of all the reasons, the Gemara says, is the reason why you can't use a cow's horn is because ein katega nasa sanegar, because the cow is reminiscent of the egel hazav, and the last thing you want to mention on Rosh Hashanah is anything to do with the egel hazav. You don't want to mention anything about cows and calves on Rosh Hashanah, so therefore you shouldn't use a cow's horn. And the Gemara seems to say this is mamash svar mederaisa. The Gemara compares this to the fact that the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear big dezav, he doesn't wear his golden clothing when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, just as there's a din min haTorah of ein katega nasa senego, and that's the reason why the Kohen Gadol doesn't wear gold, so hu adinami, you're not permitted to use a cow's horn, because it also has that same imagery of the egel azav, ein katega nasa senego. So the Gemara asks the question, the Gemara says, that's really true, that ein katega nasa senego makes sense over here. We use gold in other things in our Avodas Hashem. The Kohen Gadol himself wears gold the rest of the year. So all of a sudden it comes to Rosh Hashanah, so we pick on that model of the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur. It's not the same. The Gemara says, no. The rule of Ein Katega Nasa Senego, there are certain parameters to that rule. It only applies in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that's the din. The special, unique din that only applies in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara asks, really, if it's only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so why do we borrow it over to Tekiah Shofar? Tekiah Shofar is not Kedesh HaKadoshim. So the Gemara has a startling statement. The Gemara says that since the purpose of blowing Shofar is Lezikaram, the Torah says Zichron Trua, It's supposed to bring our zichronos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's as if we're in Kadosh HaKadoshim. Kadosh HaKadoshim doesn't only mean the physical area, geographic area in the corner of the Beis HaMikdash called Kadosh HaKadoshim. Kadosh HaKadoshim means whenever you're mamash lefnei Hashem, when you're the highest form of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's considered to be like Kadosh HaKadoshim. So when you blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah, even though you're 6,000 miles away from the Beis HaMikdash, that has a halachic status like Mikdash, not only like Mikdash, but the highest Kedusha of Mikdash. It's the highest place of Shekhinah. It has a status like Kedusha Kedoshim. This is not just a drasha for Rosh Hashanah. There's a real din deraisa. The Gemara is explaining this is the ration, one of the rationales why the shofar shall par as possible. The shofar shall par should have been kosher. We shouldn't have been worried about Inkatekanasa Senegar. The only reason why we're worried about bringing in Egel Azov things into the midst of Tekir Shofar is only because of this unique dimension of Tekir Shofar, because it has a status, Babish like Kodesh HaKadoshim. Quite a Mechudosh Tikka, a din in the Gemara. Is there anything more to this idea? Is there any other halachic significance of this idea that the Tekir Shofar somehow was elevated to such a point that it's mamish like, literally like Mikdash? So there is a Ran in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the third parak, that has a suffix about when the Mishnah says, called the shofar's ksherim, that you're allowed to use any shofar you want. All shofar, all animals are kosher, except for a cow. So the Ran has a suffix. What's the din if it's a non-kosher animal? What would the din be? Let's say, I don't think a pig has a horn, but let's say you would have a treif animal, a non-kosher animal. Would such a horn be acceptable for the mitzvah of the kishay? So the Ran says he doesn't know. On the one hand, the Mishnah says, called the shofar's ksherim. So on the other hand, it's hard to believe you could use a non-kosher animal. After all, we know that there are a lot of things you're not allowed to do with a non-kosher animal. You're not allowed to use a non-kosher animal, say, to write Sefer Torah, to fill in the mezuzahs on it. Gemara says that they weren't allowed to use a non-kosher animal for the purposes of the Mishkan. Gemara has a strange shaila in the second Berakhah Shabbos about the animal, the tachashim, the tachash that was mentioned in the Mishkan. It's unclear what that tachash was. So the Gemara says, Shaila, tachash b'mei Moshe, was it kosher, was it not kosher? So the Gemara says, it must have been kosher. We don't know what it was, but the Gemara says, it has to have been kosher, because if it wouldn't have been kosher, so then it wouldn't have been conceivable to use it for the Mikdash. Because when you build a Beis HaMikdash, you build a Mishkan, just as when you write Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzahs, it has to be kosher. So when you build a Mishkan, it had to have been kosher. So the Ran says, does that din of Lahukshul Mechashemayim, does that apply for Tekir Shofar or not? It's a suffix in the Ran. What's the suffix? Why should one say that it should apply? Why should it say it doesn't apply? So one can understand the suffix in multiple ways. But one can understand that maybe what the Ran is driving at is that Tekir Shofar is different than Tefillin, different than Mishkan, because Tefillin, Sefer Torah, Mezuzahs, Mishkan, those are Tashmish Kedusha. Those are mitzvahs of Kedusha to them, where Shofar doesn't have any Kedusha to it. After I blow shofar, Rosh Hashanah is over, I can take the shofar and throw it into the garbage. And it doesn't have any kedusha. It doesn't have to go into Sheamus. It's like an old pair of tzitzis. It's like an old lulav, like old tzchach. Once the zman mitzvah is over, so it's discarded. The Gemara says beferish in Maseches Megillah that tashmishi kedusha on the gnozin, tashmishi mitzvah on the zrokin. You just throw them into the garbage. The Rishonim add on, when you throw into the garbage, don't throw it with the regular garbage. Don't throw the shofar with your dirty diaper. It's kastish. It's a bizoyan. So wrap it up in a bag, and then throw it with the dirty diaper. Just make sure it doesn't get filthy. But in terms of any kedusha, there's no kedusha whatsoever to a shofar. So maybe one could argue that the din of melech shemayim only applies to davar shebe kedusha. You can't write tefillin on the chazer skins. You can't write a sefer Torah on the chazer skins. You can't build a mishkan with chazer. But to blow shofar with a chazer, so why not? What's the problem? There's no kedusha to it anyway. So maybe that's what the Ran's driving at. Or maybe not. Maybe the Ran wasn't sure. Maybe the Ran thought that tashmishe mitzvah are also included in this rule. But maybe if you look carefully at the Lashon Ran, so it sounds like the Ran is driving at something else. It sounds like the Ran is driving at that shofar is different from other tashmishe mitzvah. Other tashmishe mitzvah, big deal. You can use treif animals for other mitzvahs. That's not the end of the world. But maybe shofar is a little bit different. Why is shofar different? Because shofar, although it's not a cheftz of kedusha, it's mikdash oriented. Harai, it's mikdash oriented. So the Ran quotes this Gemara. In this discussion about whether you could use a chazas one for a shofar, so the Ran says, maybe not, because this is like building a mikdash. This is like lefnaiv lefnim. This is a high level of kedusha. Tekir shofar is not just a stam mitzvah b'yam. Tekir shofar is a mikdash tikka halacha. And once it's a mikdash tikka halacha, it's a whole different ballgame. So you see, the Ran took this Gemara with the utmost seriousness. How do we paskin halacha? Do we paskin that there's a problem or not? So it's unclear. The Ran himself wasn't sure. It's unclear what the din is. Some of the Acharonim, the Chashulchan says, maybe we can bring a raya, they can use a treif animal from the midst of Sukkah. The Gemara says in the second paragraph of Sukkah, you can build a Sukkah with elephants. You want to surround this up with three elephants. You don't need four, three elephants on all sides and put some bamboo across the top. So the Gemara says that's okay. The Gemara says it's just a technical problem. It's if the elephants may walk away, so you make sure they're tied down. If you have a jumbo and this one and that one, all three, and they're all in place, so you can sit there, you have a beautiful, wonderful wonderful Sukkah there. If you're willing to risk that they're not going to walk away with you. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, how could you do that? Malach HaShemayim, an elephant's not kosher. How could you use an elephant for a wall of a sukkah? That seems to be a raya, that there's no din of minamuta beficha, there's no requirement of kosher animals, if it's not a dover shebe kedusha. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, it's not necessarily a raya. Maybe the din of dover minamuta beficha only applies when the Torah requires an animal product. Like the Torah says, you have to write a sefer Torah on animal skin. Now comes the halacha and says, it has to be kosher skin. But when it comes to tekiah shofar, the Torah says it has to be an animal horn. Can't blow a silver trumpet on Rosh Hashanah. It's got to be an animal horn. So it's got to be an animal horn. So now the halacha may say it's got to be a kosher animal. When it comes to sukkah, argues the Aruch HaShulchan, the Torah never told you to make animals for a wall. You make a wooden wall. There is no din of animal products. The only time there's a din of an amuta beficha is if and when there's a din of an animal product, then that animal product has to be a kosher animal product. If there's no din of animal products in the first place, so then it's no worse than a brick wall. So it's unclear what the din should be. So in this discussion that the Ran has about the permissibility or lack thereof of using a non-kosher species of a shofar, so the Ran dug up this Gemara. So you see, the Ran took this Gemara with seriousness. The Ran learned that there's a real din, real halacha, that there's a mikdash dimension of shofar, and that plays out in terms of, number one, not permitting to use a cow's horn, and possibly also not permitting to use a non-kosher species of animal's horn. So Kopan, we've seen that there are definite something of mikdash here. There's some nuances of mikdash when it comes to the midst of tekiah shofar. According to the Rishalmi, it's clear. It's Mamash, clear as day. According to the Rishalmi, there's a different kind of a mitzvah of tekiah shofar but mikdash. Mikdash shofar is doicha Shabbos. When there's a regular shofar, it doesn't take place on Shabbos. And even according to the Bavli, he rejects that time element, but there's something to do with mikdash. There's some remnant of mikdash, something special about the tekiah shofar of mikdash. We mentioned last week that the way the mitzvah of tekiah shofar was practiced in the Beis HaMikdash was different than the way it was practiced outside the Mikdash, because it was accompanied by chatzotzros. So that idea of a chatzotzros, we call shofar, really from the Melech Hashem, that for sure is in the Mikdash, and that we paskin doesn't apply outside the Mikdash. But even though the whole idea of chatzotzros, the notion of blowing chatzotzros, that's a mikdash tikka halacha. The other Torah says, b'feirish, b'lod, b'alaseichem, b'shamechem, etc., etc. That has nothing to do with kiyah shofar. But it's not so simple. Not that it has nothing to do with kiyah shofar. If you look at the very end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, so there may be certain similarities between the mitzvah of tekiah chatzotzros of mikdash and the mitzvah of tekiah shofar, b'gvulin. So even though we don't have the practice of blowing chatzotzros b'zman hazeh, that is reserved only for the Beis HaMikdash, but somehow, even some of the Hilchos Shofar may be governed by Hilchos Chatzotzros. So again, a similar idea that the Mikdash still has some kind of an impact on the mitzvah of tekiah shofar. Shofar is not stam chutz la'aretz mitzvah, not stam a gvulin mitzvah. Some Mikdash dimensions of tekiah shofar, to such an extent that according to some Tanoim, it's the mitzvah of tekiah chatzotzros that actually serve as the source for exactly how many kolos we have to blow. We know the Mishnah tells us in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah how many kolos for the shofar you have to blow. You have to blow that pattern of tekiah through a tekiah, and then that has to be repeated three times. Where did that come from? The whole notion of tekiah shofar. How do you know what you have to blow? What you have to blow? What's it all about? So the Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah that the Torah speaks about the mitzvah of tekiah shofar three times. It talks about Yom Teruah Yelochem. It talks about Zichr and Teruah Mikra Kodesh. And then it talks about shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovav, Vayta Shofar Teruah. So we know for a fact you have to blow Teruah three times. It says a Teruah, Teruah, Teruah. So there's a Din Midarais, you have to blow three Teruahs in Rosh Hashanah. How do you know that each Teruah has to be surrounded by Tekiahs? Where does that Din come from? The Gemara works really, really hard to try to find the Mocha for that. So one Mocha is from the Pasuk by Yovel, because it says, Vayta Shofar Teruah. So the word shofar has the connotation of just a plain sound, in contrast to a trua. Trua means a broken sound, whether shvarm, trua, shvarm, whatever the version of trua is, but trua for sure means a broken sound. contrast to the word trua, so the word shofar means a straight sound. So since the Torah sandwiches the word trua between the word shofar twice, that teaches us the Seder Advarim of Tkiya Trua Tkiya. So according to one Tana, everything is learned out from this pasuk by Yovel. Ve'avarta shofar means Tkiya, trua means trua, taviru shofar means a Tkiya. So this model, the basic tzura, the basic format of Tkiya Shofar, there's a straight sound and a broken sound and a straight sound in the end. According to one Tana, the derivation of that whole idea is from the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar of Yovel. And the other Tana says, no, that's not the mocha. The mocha for the idea that you blow tkiyas and truas and tkiyas is learned out from Parshas Chatzotzros. Because if you look back in Parshas Baloscha, so the Torah describes, uskatam trua, trua yiskeu, it talks about a tkiyas and a truas, and then followed by tkiyas again. So one Tana says, just as by tkiyas Chatzotzros, the Seyd HaDvarim is tkiya, trua, tkiya, so too by tkiyas Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, that's the Seyd HaDvarim as well. This is a din deraisa. There's no question about this. This is for sure a din deraisa that you have to blow a tkiya, trua, tkiya. That's the mitzvah, that's the tzuras ha-mitzvah. The machlekes ha-teroim is where the source for this mitzvah is. Is the source of the mitzvah learned out from Yovel, or is the source of the mitzvah learned out from tkiyas chatzotzros? If you hold that it's learned out from tkiyas chatzotzros, so that's a very, very strange drasha. That's a different mitzvah. It doesn't have to do with anything. It's like we're going to learn out the details of the Tilas Lulav from the mitzvah of Tkiya Shofar. The mitzvahs have nothing to do with each other. The answer is it's not true. The mitzvahs have a lot to do with each other. And even though it's true, one's a silver trumpet and one's a ram's horn. And one's in the base of Mikdash and one is Chutz L'Mikdash. It's true, but there are similarities between them that we shouldn't just ignore. Also, to such an extent, the Gemara says in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that this may be the source for part of the Malchus Zecharos and Shofars as well. Maybe learned that from Chatzotzros about the Vidiskartim, Niyashem Lekechem. So the Rashi Shita is that when you blow Shofar Midaraisa, you have to say Psukim also. The Ramban claims it's all Midarabanan. The Ramban says the whole davening Musaf and Rosh Hashanah is Midarabanan. The Rashi, Chumash and Rashi and Rosh Hashanah seems to say that there's a real Din Deraisa to say the Psukim of Malchus Zecharos and Shofars. So one of the sources for some of these Psukim is from the Parshas of Chatzotzros. So also you see that there is some kind of similarity between the two. Even though Chatzotzros is very, very Mikdash oriented, and Rosh Hashanah at first glance has nothing to do with the Mikdash, the answer is that's not true. That there is some kind of an overlap between the two. There's some dimension of Chatzotzros, something somewhere of Hilchos Chatzotzros made it into the midst of Tkiya Shofar as well. Question is, how far does this overlap go? Just how connected are these two mitzvahs? So there was a big tumult in the Rishonim as to just how close these mitzvahs of Tkiya Shofar and Tkiya Chatzotzros really are. Even though, obviously, they're not identical. One is a silver trumpet, one's a shofar, one's mikdash, one's chutz l'mikdash, but there may be some underlying similarity between the two. So this machlekes of Rishonim reached our machzer, reached our nusach ha-tfila. The Gemara, the Mishnah says in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah that there's a din, either b'deraisa, b'derabanan, to say psukim when you blow shofar. So you have to say different psukim from Chumash, from Neviim, from Ksuvim, which speak about the theme of that particular bracha that you're saying. It's clear from the Gemara that there was no absolute takana which psukim to say. The Mishnah, the Gemara tells us, you have to say X amount of psukim. Different opinions, how much X, we assume 10 psukim. You have to say 10 psukim for Malchias, 10 psukim for Zichrenis, and 10 psukim for Shofars. But the specific psukim that you choose were not instituted by Chazal. Chazal gave you options. Chazal said it has to meet the following criteria. It's got to be this kind of a theme, that kind of a theme, a good shofar. They tell you what the guidelines are. And then each person could theoretically pick his own psukim. So over the years, there were certain neschos ha-tefillah that were instituted, so everyone's basically davening the same psukim. Almost everybody. There are still some, but the yekis, they still have a little bit of a different lineup of some of the psukim. Again, it's not meikar adin, which psukim you say, as long as you say 10 psukim. So one of the psukim that we say, it's actually the last of the psukim, the din is that you're supposed to say from Chumash, then you say from Tehillim, then you say from Nevi'im, and then you're supposed to be Messiah and B'Torah. The last pasuk should quote from Chumash. So the very, very last of all our psukim, the last pasuk of Shofros, the last pasuk, the grand finale of all the psukim, doesn't say the word shofar in it. It says, "V'yom simchaschem v'mo'adeichem v'roshchenet uskata b'chatzotzros." It's a pasuk from Parshas Baloscha, all about blowing the silver trumpets in the base of Mikdash. So half the Rishonim said, you have to take that pasuk out. It doesn't make any sense. It's like I'm saying a pasuk about shofars, and I'm quoting a mitzvah, it feels lulav. It's a different mitzvah. So here to Rishayim said, shofars luchud, and chatzaitzos luchud. So how can you possibly quote the pasuk of chatzaitzos as the grand finale of the mitzvah shofar? You gotta find another pasuk. Another pasuk somewhere. You gotta search chumash for another place where the word shofar appears. But the word chatzaitzos clearly isn't going to qualify as a pasuk. So the Rishayim try really, really hard to defend the practice of Klal Yisrael. So the Rishayim say, well, if you really, really would have needed a pasuk to mention shofaros, then this pasuk really would have failed. But the good news is that b'diyeved, even if you don't say the last pasuk, you're also yotze. For that matter, even if you only say one pasuk, you're yotze. For that matter, even if you say no pasukim, maybe you're yotze. So as long as you say, as it says, matorah v'chulei, so the whole saying of the pasukim is a hiddur, is a lechatchila. So many Rishonim defend the practice of Klal Yisrael and say, all right, we'll say of Yom Simchas Tov, even though it doesn't really count, we're really going to end up short one pasuk. We really only have nine pasukim. No, not the end of the world. Another Rishonim said, what kind of story is that? Get rid of the pasuk, find another pasuk. So different opinions. So the Minig Yisrael is clearly to say this pasuk. I don't think anybody says a different pasuk as a temple. Even those who add other pasukim, I don't think anyone patches around with this pasuk. The Rishonim already had problems with this pasuk. They already miyashiv the Minig Yisrael that we say this pasuk. But it's really a pella, because it's a libetzchus, it's a b'shas atchach, a b'diyevin, b'yaitzim with this pasuk. So just get rid of it, say a different pasuk. Where did this pasuk make its way in? Why do we make such a fuss to stick in the pasuk of Yom Simchas Tov? So some of the Rishonim say, well, you know, we learned from the dinim of shofar from chatzaitzah, so it's almost the same, it's blowing him. So maybe this is the word. Maybe the word is that we want to highlight the fact that it's not totally a separate mitzvah. We shouldn't think that Tkiyas Shofar is one mitzvah and Tkiyas Chatzotos is totally, completely different. It's true. There are differences between the two. One's Mikdash, Chutzla Mikdash, silver trumpets, animals, one's true. But there is some kind of connection between the two. Proof positive, in the base of Mikdash itself, they blew them together. It was Mamash Akiyam B'yev Asachas, but Chatzotos Kho Shofar, really for Melech Hashem. So maybe even within the Nuscha Tfila, we're highlighting the fact that there's still a mash, there's a remnant of Mikdash left, even in the midst of Tkiyas Shofar. So at first glance, when you blow the shofar, so it doesn't have anything to do with the Mikdash. It's like making Kiddush on Friday night, it's like putting on tefillah, putting on tzitzis. These mitzvahs have nothing to do with the Mikdash. But if you look a little bit deeper, you'll see that there are Mikdash, overtones and undertones of to the midst of Tkiyas Shofar. That's licked in between the details of Tkiyas Shofar, so we remember that there's a little bit of a Mikdash dimension of this mitzvah as well. Perhaps it's because of this underlying theme of Mikdash that appears in the midst of Tkiyas Shofar, we can understand the very, very strange Taisus. There's a Taisus of Maseches Megillah, where Taisus has comments, how come certain mitzvahs, when we finish doing the mitzvah, we ask the Rebbeinu Shalom to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Rachman Yachzal, the Beis HaMikdash from Koiba. So Taisus says, we say that by Sfiras HaOmer, certain mitzvahs we say it, certain mitzvahs we don't say it. So Taisus questions, why don't we say that by Tkiyas Shofar? So Taisus gives you a reason why we don't say Rachman Yachzal, the Beis HaMikdash. So the question is on Taisus' question, why would one have thought to say it in the first place? It says, the tefillah of Harachmar Yachzal and Beis HaMikdash makes sense when we have a mitzvah, nebuch, we're counting Sefirah today, and Bezman HaZeh, there's no Korban Omer, it's only the Rabbanon. So the mitzvah is not Bishlemus, it's not in its complete form. So Mehevi Man HaMikdash, we should go back to counting Sefirah properly. So it makes sense to finish up the mitzvah with Yiratzah, with Harachmar. When it comes to Tkiyas Shofar, I just did the mitzvah. What do you want? I put on tefillin. I don't say Yiratzon Sheyabara B'Sim Mikdash. It's the exact same mitzvah tefillin in the Mikdash and out of the Mikdash. So what's the purpose of the Yiratzon? So why does Taisus even contemplate the possibility of Yiratzon for Tkiyas Shofar? So the answer is because it's not the same. Because there's something missing in that mitzvah Tkiyas Shofar. It's not the Chatzos is called Shofar. It's not complete. There's something lacking in Tkiyas Shofar. So therefore, we daven it. In the end, we don't. It explains why we don't. But in theory, it makes sense for us to think about Mikdash. So maybe it's that idea why the Rishonim, the Gaon, whoever composed this Nuscha Tefillah of sticking in the last pasuk, maybe they had this in mind also. That when we finish what, it's the last of the pasuk, we just finished the whole Tkiyas Shofar, we just finished the whole Machas Reshah. When Mamash come to the end, the last pasuk is, it's like a Mehri Bana Mikdash. Yom Simchas Tov Modechev. We don't want to just say a pasuk about shofar. We want to talk about a Mikdash Tikkun Shofar. So the best way to express our hope, and desire, and yearning for Mikdash Tikkun Shofar, the Kadosh Baruch Hu should bring the Chatzotzos back. Because when you bring the Chatzotzos back, then we'll have the Nitzvah Tikkun Shofar B'Shleimusa. We'll be able to fulfill Mehri Bana Mikdash B'Chatzotzos Kol Shofar. Harilu Fnei Melech Hashem.